Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this last day of November, November 30, 2024. Thank you so much for your prayers. I do feel much better. Not quite 100% yet, but enough to continue to lead out in the services. And thank you so much, dear Sister Rose, for covering for me these past Sabbaths. Bless you, dear sister. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording of today's service. And so happy to have you in fellowship with us all today. Before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that prayer? Please go right ahead.
If we could all kneel our heads and our hearts and bend our knees as far as possible as we come before our Godhead. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee once more to give You all honor and praises, Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for Your love and mercies upon all of our lives for bringing us together yet another Sabbath day. We thank You for all the miracles that You have wrought this week, dear Father, for healing, for restoration, for love, for peace, for bringing us through safely, dear Father, in taking us in and out, dear Father God. And we continue, dear Father, to thank You and praise You. I pray that You please continue to put Your healing hands upon those that are sick and afflicted, those that are going through any type of maladies today, dear Father God, whether spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, mentally, or even financially, dear Heavenly Father. You are an all-knowing God. You know everything that every one of us need, and just when we need it, dear Father. I pray that You continue to heal our hearts, our mind, our spirits, dear Father. I pray that You open up our ears, our heart, our understanding to the words of truth and inspiration that we have partaked of so far in this day and will continue to partake of in the upcoming service, dear Father God. I pray, please send Your heavenly angels to continue to encamp about us, dear Father, as we sit and we sap with Thee, and do not allow the enemy in any way, shape, or form to enter into our camps, dear Father, that we may be risen to higher heights with Thee, dear Father, to be nourished, to be reestablished, dear Father, and to go forward in Your name. Lord, we thank You. There's so much more to give thanks for that our words merely cannot even accomplish. But we ask You, Lord, for You to continue to help us to look up to Thee, to hold on to Thee with the very fiber of our beings. We thank You and we love You. Please continue to encamp with us, dear Father, once more and heal those that are sick. And we thank You and we love You. In all the names in Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. We are continuing in our study book, Christ Object Lessons. And we're in chapter 25, the largest chapter, titled Talents. We discovered there's quite a bit of talents. A lot more than maybe we have ever thought of. And our dear sister left off at the paragraph that's about two-thirds of the way down on page 333 under the subsection Mental Faculties. And the paragraph starts out, if placed under the control of His Spirit. And the last thing that we were discussing last Sabbath was that God has blessed every human being with mental faculties. Some have very strong mental faculties in some areas. Others have weak mental faculties, but God has blessed each human born with mental faculties. And since he has blessed them with these powers, he requires them to train these powers of mind to the best possible functioning. So God doesn't desire that whatever mental faculty we have, we just kind of accept and never make it proficient, never exercise it, never cause it to grow stronger. He desires us to utilize these faculties, and in using them, they become stronger. They grow, and perhaps they lead into other powers that we didn't realize we had until we grew the ones that we already recognized. So you can understand that if God has given us the powers of thought, the powers of discernment, the powers of investigation, he desires us to improve these talents. And if we refuse to do so, if we don't take the time to exercise them, then he can't bless us. So God puts us under obligation to develop the intellectual faculties of our minds to the fullest possible area. And if we do so, then we will be able to grow in intelligence and be able to understand more closely the character of our Creator. So since we recognize that God has blessed us with these mental powers, and if we utilize them to the full extent that God enables us to accomplish, then we're going to possess more intelligence. We're going to have clearer understanding, clearer discernment, clearer comprehension than someone who does not recognize that God has blessed them with these powers of mind. So you can see that God requires much more of those who recognize he exists than of those who do not recognize he exists. So it's a responsibility for each one of us to improve the powers of our mind. So that's where we left off, and now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph, again, about two-thirds of the way down on page 333. If placed under the control of his spirit, the more thoroughly the intellect is cultivated, the more effectively it can be used in the service of God. The uneducated man who is consecrated to God and who longs to bless others can be and is used by the Lord in his service. But those who, with the same spirit of consecration, have had the benefit of a thorough education, can do a much more extensive work for Christ. They stand on vantage ground. So there's nothing wrong with being educated. Educated in reading, writing, arithmetic, educated in the sciences, educated in the arts, educated in all the various areas of knowledge. I mean, proper knowledge, right? Not evil knowledge. And if we're thoroughly educated and we're also consecrated to God, then we can do a more extensive work for God than can someone who hasn't had the ability to be educated or who chose not to be educated. God can use both classes of people, but he can use the ones that are educated for a much more extensive work for his kingdom. So even though you may not be educated in a high level, doesn't mean God can't use you. He can, and he longs to use you. But if you are educated in an extensive area, if you consecrate all your educational prowess to the service of God, God can use you in a greater way. Any comments, thoughts, questions, dear one? Please go right ahead. Who would like to read? Oh, go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. I can relate to that in a very real and different kind of way. And that regards my time that by God's grace I served years in the military. When first starting off, I only understood a little bit about military life, what's expected, what to do. I did, you know, we all had little, our own talents in the profession that I had went into. Each one of our squad members, they all had their different little talents and we were encouraged to develop those talents even more. Well, I discovered that there were some that were developing them more by either reading more about their particular skills that they need to polish, or by just goofing off and just barely getting by, going in and out of their tanks and tracks and participating in the formations that we go through in the field and practice on the firing squad lines and things like that, just getting by. But then there were those who actually really learned, you know, and I, by God's grace, I applied myself in those areas too to learn about the assignment given for you. It would have some that would be responsible for one particular weapon, another of another weapon, another of another, and different skills inside the squad. And I saw that the more that each soldier applied themselves to their skill, the more proficient they became and the more useful they were for the whole squad and the whole platoon and the whole company. It just kept rolling on. And the ones that didn't, it could be seen that they only had a mediocre experience. And it, at times, many times, would become a hindrance in the missions that we were given to participate in. They would kind of be like stumbling blocks in a way because they weren't really proficient in what they were doing. I say this for this reason also. The commanders, whether they were captains or sergeants or whatever, took note of those that were actually being applying themselves and becoming more proficient, and then they, in time, would receive promotions. And those promotions would also have more responsibilities involved. And there were times when others would be a bit envious of the ones that did get these promotions and did receive more responsibility, yet it was their own fault that they did not receive the same because they did not apply themselves the same way. So I look at it like that, these talents that we are given by God, if we do not exercise them, yes, he can use those that don't have many talents very effectively. This is very true. I understand that. Yet the same ones that may have a few talents and they may not be very well educated, if they do not really try to apply themselves with what they do have, they become even less effective. And then the ones that are applying themselves become more effective, and the Lord blesses that. So I guess I see that That blessing, those blessings come, if I'm understanding correctly, those blessings will come in accordance to the effort one puts in by God's grace to the work. The more blessings that will come in accordance to the work given, I guess that's what I'm kind of seeing, because God is just and he is a rewarder of those who are diligently seeking him and following him and obeying him, and not like one who may have talents, but they would rather sit under a tree and be slothful and do much of nothing to really help anyone out. So breath of life, yes, we have it, but what are we investing it in, I guess, is another part I think about too.
Amen. Great points there, brother. You know, God can only bless someone who's empty. Christ gave an analogy of a glass. The glass is full, but there can be no more water poured into that glass. He fills it, but you have to utilize what's in the glass, what's in yourself, before you can receive more. So Christ wants to fill you. And in answer to prayer, he will fill you with blessings. But you have to utilize those blessings. You have to use up the water before you can receive more. So God has blessed you with talents, however many that is. You're filled with them. But you have to use those talents before he will bless you with more. It's like in the parable with talents. The individual had to use the two or the five in order to gain twice as many. The person who refused to use the one he was filled with could not receive any more. The same with us.
May I add a little to that too, dear brother? And it goes back to what I was sharing, but I missed this point, and you brought it up, and it's a very good point. And this takes place during our time of what they call basic training and advanced individual training, or AIT. The men and women that come into the military are very full of themselves. We have a whole lot of things that we think we know. And we like to brag about, you know, we come in bragging about where we live, how tough we were, and all kinds of other stuff, all the skills we have. And yet, in truth, I have found that in basic training and in AIT, what the job of the drill sergeant is to do is to cause us to empty ourselves. Because they can't give us what they need to give us to prepare us for the job that we are supposed to know if we think we know so much already. We have to be able to humble ourselves, and there's some great humbling that goes on, to know that we don't know everything we think we should know. And with being so full, I have watched, you know, I had watched quite a few leave because they just really would not submit to emptying themselves and putting pride aside, putting their own self-ambitious ways aside in order for the good of the unit and the mission at hand. And I believe that that plays a part also in the house of God. There are those that they are not willing to humble themselves and be empty, even as you say, so that the Lord can truly fill them, so that they can really be a living stone within the house of God. They would rather be the cornerstone. They want to be the capstone. They want to be the general of all the armies. They don't want to follow anyone's orders because they feel that they already have so much to offer. So I just wanted to touch on that because it made a very big impact in realizing that even when I went through all that, that was very much an important thing that had to be done when we were going through that training period in order to learn how to be a part of one single unit. You have to really be empty and allow yourself to be filled with that which is needful for the whole unit and not for oneself.
Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
While everybody was speaking, I thought about two characters and figures. Paul, when he taught that everything that he has learned, and at the same time what it is that he had an ability of, when the Lord wanted to be able to take him, he literally stripped him. And he couldn't even use what it is that he had. And another figure is also Moses, when he was, in the military also. And when he came to be able to be used, the Lord didn't even use none of those parts. He actually used something completely contrary to what his ability was. And it's just the same thing like us. One of the things then that I always was very fearful of is to be able to fail God or not to be able to do exactly what he tells me to do. And also I realized that that was also a hindering because I had to exercise faith. Even though that my spirit was telling me what to do, my flesh was the one that was battling because I was too afraid to make a mistake. But the more I kept reading and the more I kept trusting in God, I said, Lord, I don't speak the language. I was using everything for me to be able to not take that step. But I noticed that when the Lord put a path that he wants you to travel, sometimes we in our own finite mind don't even realize that we was placed in it, and we don't even know we're walking in that path because we can't even identify. So it is so amazing how gentle our Savior is, because you will say, well, I can't really speak that well. And then even though you're talking to the Lord, I say, I can't speak that way, but yet he puts you in a position that you still have to do it. So Elder Rob and everybody, every time when Elder Rob would say, cover for me, I go through, I'm sorry to speak, but I go through agony. Because I said to myself, Lord, I said, it's hard for me to do it. Why you keep putting me in this spot? But you know, I noticed he wants me to get over it. So he keep bringing it. I guess when I finally will be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust and just do what you said, this is when I guess it's going to be a little bit less, but who knows? The good thing about it is that God is so gentle that he knows us more than we know ourselves. And to have that fear also is to be able to know that the reverence that I have for the things of God, I may not have a way to speak it, but if I can find in the spirit of prophecy, the Bible, or even in testimony, that we can be able to relate what we wanted to relate and not allow our weakness to stop it, this is where I find it rewarding. So I just wanted to share that. And thank you, Eldora.
Oh, thank you, dear sister. God indeed used you in a great way, and again, thank you for covering for me. Now, when you look through the scriptures, you find that God dwells with the humble and the contrite in heart. But you find very little instances in which God forced humility upon the people. the greater majority of these instances is they voluntarily chose to humble themselves. So God gives us the choice. And if we refuse to humble ourselves, then God can't protect us from humiliating experiences, right? They're going to come. But God allows them to come because it's only when we're humble by choice that God can dwell with us and bless us. Christ is the rock. He says, if you fall on the rock and be broken, that's a choice. If you fall on Christ and are broken in heart, in other words, humble, then you're going to be safe and protected. But if you remain full of pride and self-sufficiency, then that rock is going to fall on you and you're going to be ground to powder. In other words, you're not going to be blessed. You're going to be destroyed. So God desires us to choose to be humble, to submit ourselves to His Spirit working upon us. And then everything is going to be fine. That's a choice. And the sooner we make that choice, the better it's going to be for us. Now, any other thoughts or comments, Dylan? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The Lord desires us to obtain all the knowledge possible, with all the education possible, with the object in view of imparting our knowledge to others. None can know where or how they may be called to labor or to speak with God, for God. Our Heavenly Father alone sees what He can make of men. There are before us possibilities which our feeble faith does not discern. Our minds should be so trained that if necessary, we can present the truths of His word before the highest earthly authorities in such a way as to glorify His name. We should not let slip even one opportunity of qualifying ourselves to intellectually to work for God.
Yeah. Thank you, dear Brother Blue. So God desires us to obtain all the education possible. Now, this isn't talking about being educated in paganistic philosophy. So this word all here is in relationship to knowledge, education that God can approve of. So God desires each one of us to obtain all the proper education possible. And the reason that we want to be educated in the fullest sense is because we want to be able to impart knowledge to others. So it's not just to gain the blessing of knowledge that we want to be educated, but it's also for the purpose of distributing this knowledge to others. And since God desires us to be His witnesses, then the areas of witnessing now become important to be trained in. One of these areas of witnessing is to learn how to speak. To learn how to talk, to overcome our timidity in being able to speak to others or to groups. And so this involves training. You have to exercise your gift of speech, your talent of speech, and learn, be trained in how to control it. To know what to say, when to say it, how much to say, right? When to be silent. All that involves training, which means exercise, which means practice. And especially dealing with the truths of God's word. That's the greatest education book there is the Bible. Next comes the spirit of prophecy. And there's a lot of books. So the education that we're to become proficient in is the truths of God's inspired word. And we're to practice how to present these truths to others. Because God may have us stand before the highest earthly authorities. And if we get up there and we don't know how to speak, we don't know how to share the truths that we believe in, then we're not going to be able to reach them in such a way that glory will be given to the name of God. Any thoughts, comments, insights, anything else you'd like to share, dear one? When you look at how Christ trained his disciples, they spent time with him. They learned what truths he shared with others, how he shared with others, how he treated others. So spending time in the New Testament dealing with how Christ interacted with others, including the disciples, you're learning how to follow the best possible example in evangelism, and that's Christ. Now, after Christ had presented several truths to his disciples, he sent them out two by two. He didn't go with them physically, right? The Spirit went with them, but he sent them out. In other words, he placed them in situations in which they had to share with others the truths that they heard the Master speak. They had to interact with others the way they saw that the Master interacted. They had to treat others the same way the Master treated. So Christ enabled them to take what they had learned and seen and put it into practice so that they could be able to labor or speak for God. Now, they didn't ask Christ, hey, send me out. Christ sent them out, right? So we may not ask for different situations to come to us that forces us to leave our comfort zone and be able to witness for God in various ways. But if we step through those open doors, we will be able to learn precious lessons. We'll be able to be trained to more proficiently work, speak, and live for God. Just as our dear sister Rose was bringing out, she had to leave her comfort zone, right? And be able to cover for me. And praise the Lord that she did. and praise the Lord that he blessed her marvelously in doing so. And each time she is placed in that position, she's learning more how to labor and speak for God. And so each one of us, dear ones, has that ability. We all can speak. We all can work for God. We just need to allow him to use us, to train us, so that we become more proficient. That means self has to be crucified. We have to leave our comfort bubble, right? We have to do things we would not otherwise choose to do. But it's all so that glory can be given to God through us. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Let the youth who need an education set to work with a determination to obtain it. Do not wait for an opening. Make one for yourselves. Take hold in any small way that presents itself. Practice economy. Do not spend your means for the gratification of appetite or in pleasure seeking. Be determined to become as useful and efficient as God calls you to be. Be thorough and faithful in whatever you undertake. Procure every advantage within your reach for strengthening the intellect. Let the study of books be combined with useful manual labor and by faithful endeavor watchfulness. And prayer secure the wisdom that is from above. This will give you an all-around education, thus you may rise in character and gain an influence over the minds, enabling you to lead them in the path of uprightness and holiness.
Amen. Now, can you think of instances in the scriptures where God called a person to a particular high level of responsibility, and yet they didn't know how to operate at that high level? Can you think of examples in the scriptures? Yeah, amen. Moses, yeah, I mean, 40 years he had been trained in the ways of the Egyptians. And God called them to his service. But all his previous education was worthless in the area that God had called him to a responsibility in. Quite interesting. Yeah, Samson, right? Paul. Amen. Any others? Amen. David. Yes. Esther. Yeah, you're right. How about Elisha? Elisha knew how to take care of a farm, how to take care of a household, how to plow a field, but he didn't know anything about taking the place of Elijah in a ministry to work for God. But that didn't deter Elisha or Paul or Moses from accepting the responsibility and then applying themselves day by day in learning how to take up that great responsibility. Moses had to unlearn everything that he learned so he could learn the proper way of being a messenger for God. So we see that even though we may not have the education we need to work for God, that shouldn't prevent us from going to work for God. And little by little, we will learn more how to carry forward the great responsibility God has called us to. Yeah, amen, Gideon. God has called us to in his work. We may have to unlearn things that we learned in school, but that is not a deterrent to God calling us into his service. We have to be willing to let go what's not pleasing to God and hold on to those things that are. So if we have a determination to follow God, then go to work. Just because you may stumble and bumble your first efforts at witnessing doesn't mean that your efforts will not bear fruit. Because we have the Holy Spirit that will empower our words into the heart of the listener or listeners and will allow them to understand what we're trying to say, but we didn't use the best words at it. So we have the Spirit to aid us. And even though our words may not be the most accurate, right? The Spirit will enable the words, will add on to them, and will impress the heart of the listeners with the right understanding. Yeah, amen. Amen. Comment says, cast the seed generously and the Lord will take care of its growth by his grace. Amen. Some of the seeds of truth that we share are not going to bear fruit. But there's going to be some that will. And it was for those some that God called us to share with many. So don't let timidity keep you from sharing. Leave the results with God, and he'll take care of the rest. Great point. Any other comments or thoughts, dear one?
Elder Rob, I was thinking in some instances when the Lord used us, you know, to do a work for him, sometimes we have a sense of a situation and we don't know how to go about it or even when to go about it. But then the Lord says, go, and you go and you're like shaking in your boots. But then once you open your mouth to start to speak, the words just come out and you have no idea from whence these words are coming from to the point where sometimes you may be used in such a way that someone came back to you and say, hey, do you remember that time when, you know, this situation was happening and you said, and you're like, I said, I don't know what you're, I don't know, I don't remember saying that. But then you know that wasn't you really doing the work, but the spirit that was within you doing the work. And we can be used in that very sense too. It's amazing. It just takes the faith of a mustard seed, a little bit for you to just step forward in the name of Jesus and he will show you mighty things. And also in that sense, it's kind of like you water and being watered at the same time.
Amen. Great point, dear sister. I know in presenting present truth to individuals, there have been areas that I did not know the answer for. And so I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I don't want anyone asking a question in this area because I don't know how to answer it. And wouldn't you know it, when question and answer would come, someone would bring forth that very issue that I didn't know how to answer. And right at the point in which I'm addressing their question, the answer comes. It's like everything just fits together in a puzzle, and I'm able to see what the correct answer is to that question. It's happened many times. But if I didn't start to address their question, the answer would have never come. So as you go forward in faith, then God's ability to bless your faith will occur. The words will be given you. Understanding will be granted you, right? The answer will become plain. Whereas before, it was, you know, muddied up. It was, you just couldn't understand. So amen, dear sister. Amen. Comment, if we... just say, if we read and study, it enables the Holy Spirit to have it come out at the right time. Amen. Go ahead, dear sister.
Sorry, Elder Rupp. A visual just came to mind as we were speaking about that. In regards to, like, the children of Israel, when they reached to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was on their tail, and it was just that very thing of going forward, right? Because you don't know, here's this water before you, how are you gonna go? But once they stepped their foot forward in the name of Jesus, the water opened up, you know. And it's amazing when we read those stories for ourselves, we're in awe, right? Because we're saying that took like great faith, that took like a great measure of doing. But they did, right, in the name of Jesus. And what was also, that was the visual that came to mind as we're doing the work for the Lord. It may not be in that grand thing that happens, but the Lord definitely will be able to use us in that way if we allow Him in to do the work.
Amen. Any other thoughts or insights, Derwin? Now, you see the paragraph starts out, let the youth who need an education. Does this mean that only the young can be educated in God's service? Yeah, the answer is no. But the young have so much quicker response to education than someone that is older, that's already set in their ways. So those that are still pliable have a much greater opportunity to learn what they need to become fixed on than someone that's older and already fixed. But it doesn't mean that God cannot educate even the elderly among us, because He can. All things are possible with God to those who believe, to those who have faith. So no matter what your age is, if you desire to be educated to work for God, then God will make a way for you to obtain that education. Don't limit God's ability, because He's without limit. He's infinite, right? So don't let the devil get you to believe that because you're already an adult, there's no possible way you're going to be able to learn new things. Because you can. Look at Moses. What was he, 60 some years when he went out into the wilderness? Or 40 years when he went out into the wilderness? That's middle age. God taught him another 40 years. So now he's elderly, 80 years old. And he received the education that he needed to become a very efficient messenger for God. So God can indeed give middle-aged, even elderly, the education that they need to do proficient work for God. Any other thoughts or comments, Derwent? Would like to read the next paragraph.
Far more might be accomplished in the work of self-education if we were awake to our own opportunities and privileges. True education means more than the colleges can give. While the study of the sciences is not to be neglected, there is a higher training to be obtained through a vital connection with God. Let every student take his Bible and place himself in communion with the great teacher. Let the mind be trained and disciplined to wrestle with hard problems in the search for divine truth.
Amen. Yeah. Well, let's say that you desire to be trained to be a minister. And you have to wait a year before you can enter into a college to be trained to be a minister. And then 4 years later, you're a minister with a degree. Did you really have to wait the year before you could enter the college in order to learn how to be a minister for God? No, because you can become a far greater minister for God through self-education. That means educating yourself, not waiting until you're able to enter into a college or earn up enough money to be able to pay the yearly scholastic fee in order to be educated. You can be self-educated. The internet provides a wealth of information for you to be able to look up and discover how to be a minister. But even greater is the Word of God. Bringing yourself in communion with the great teacher. The teacher educates. Going directly to Christ, he will teach you how to become a much better minister through self-education, spending time with Christ, than any training university can bring forth. A lot of times the universities will bring in material that is actually counterproductive in being a minister for God. A lot of the education leads you to trust in others for what you're to do instead of trusting in God for what He would have you do. So going to a college or a university and obtaining a doctorate or a degree in ministering a lot of times is wasted because the direction is turned more towards individuals instead of towards the creator of those individuals. It's just like with the ancient Jewish system. From 1 through 12, they taught you from the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of Moses. So the very early years, you were taught directly from the scriptures. It's the best education you could obtain. But after Bar Mitzvah, up through, I think it was 21 or so, you were taught on a commentary of the Pentateuch. So the writings of so-called wise rabbis on what the first five books of Moses were supposedly teaching, you were then trained in. Once you reached that particular plateau after 21 or so, you were then taught from a commentary on the commentary of the Pentateuch. So the older you got, the farther away from the scriptures the educational system took you. Farther away from the great teacher you were taken from. So true education is found by going to Jesus. And we find the words of God in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Self-educated ministers, educated from God's inspired word, are far more proficient in spreading the present truth than those who have a degree. So go to God. Let him educate you. Let him train you. And then go to work. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Those who hunger for knowledge that they may bless their fellow men will themselves receive blessing from God. Through the study of His Word, their mental powers will be aroused to earnest activity. There will be an expansion and development of the faculties, and the mind will acquire power and efficiency.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So if it's your desire to learn the truth of God's word so that you can share the truth with others, then God will bless you in your efforts. And as you study His word, your mental powers, plural, your mental faculties will be aroused to earnest activity. They will expand. They will develop, and the mind will be more powerful and efficient. So if you don't think that you know very much, or that you don't have very good mental acuity, start studying God's word. Start seeking to understand what you're reading. Train and discipline yourself to wrestle with hard problems in your search for truth. So in studying His word, not just reading His word, but contemplating on what you're reading, God will bless your mental powers and all your mind will be able to expand, become more powerful and efficient. So you don't have to go to the greatest university in order for your mental powers to become better in God's word. All you have to do is go directly to the source of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. In him dwells all wisdom. Go to God and let him be your teacher. Yeah, amen. Jeremiah had to learn. Solomon had to learn. He didn't know how to go out or come in. God gave him the wisdom. So if you spend time with God, he will also give you wisdom.
Can I ask a silly question?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's been bugging me for a very, very, very long time, and I just kind of guess what it really means, and you just said it. I don't really understand, or maybe I do, and I'm overcomplicating it. What does that really mean to come out and go in, to come in and out for the, I mean, I'm probably overcomplicating things, but when I read it, I'm like, Lord, I don't, what am I supposed to be doing in order to do that? So, if I can get a little help understanding whether maybe I'm just overcomplicating things.
Well, I think in the literal sense, Solomon didn't know how to be a king. He didn't know how to act like a king. And so he went to God for help. You know, it's like Moses. I don't know how to speak before Pharaoh. And yet God says, I made your mouth. I can give you the words to say. So it's that same type of situation. You recognize your limitations, but you can't allow your limitations to prevent you, like a wall or a stumbling block, to keep you from obeying God. So God gave Solomon the wisdom to act like a king. God gave Moses the ability to represent him before all of Israel and to go and speak before Pharaoh, even though Aaron was chosen to be the spokesman. And so God, just like with a lot of the other prophets, they didn't know how to be a prophet. But by willingly obeying God, he taught them little by little on how to effectively represent him to others. It's the same situation. But what happens at times is, like when God is impressing you to go speak to that total stranger, and you say, God, I don't know what to say. I don't even know who they are. What if, and then all these ifs come in there, what if they get mad and strike me on what I say? What if I get there and I stumble in my words? What if? And then pretty soon the person walks away and the opportunity is lost. What we need to recognize is that God would not impress us to go speak to that stranger unless it was important for us to do so. Perhaps he just wanted us to go over there and say God bless you, or you know, smile at them or shake their hand. I'm glad to meet you today, you know. To be kind to them. Perhaps they needed just the kindness of a stranger. But if we refuse to act because we're fearful, or we're timid, or excuses come up and prevent us from acting, then that opportunity is lost. We may never be able to reach that individual again. Uh, comment in the room. It says, I went to IIOM and became a certified nutritional counselor. Being that I did not receive it through the state, I am not able to utilize my certification in any business establishment. So I asked God why he put me through a school that I can't use my degree. Well, the knowledge is not lost. The knowledge, the counseling expertise that you learn can still be put into your interaction with individuals. And even though you may not be able to receive money from your services to them, you can still counsel them in the proper nutritional benefits of the right kind of diet for their particular state of health. So the knowledge is not lost. Being paid for it might be, right? But the knowledge is not lost. And that knowledge is valuable in helping others to be properly educated in the right nutritional diet for their particular physical state. So praise God you obtained that education. And perhaps you might be able to challenge the state boards and be able to be certified by the state. They give you the ability to challenge the board and be able to take the test. You still have to pay for it, but be able to take the test even though you haven't met their particular requirements of education from an established or a certified educational facility. So hopefully you can challenge the boards and be able to pass and then receive the state license. But praise God that you have the knowledge, because that can't be taken from you. So if we ask, God will give the answer. If we seek, he'll allow us to find. If we knock, he'll open it to us. So those who hunger for knowledge in order to bless others with that knowledge, God will bless you in those efforts. And who would like to read the last paragraph in this section? Please go right ahead.
Self-discipline must be practiced by everyone who would be a worker for God. This will accomplish more than eloquence or the most brilliant talents. An ordinary mind, well disciplined, will accomplish more and higher work than will the most highly educated mind and the greatest talents without self-control.
Amen. And thank you, dear Sister Karina. So self-discipline must be practiced. What is self-discipline? Any ideas?
Abstaining from wanting to do something that you're tempted to do.
Amen. Self-control is another word for self-discipline. So let's say that you set aside a half hour in the morning to spend with God. And just before you start, let's say from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So 7:30 comes, and you sit down with the Bible or the Spirit of Prophecy and you say prayer and you're just about to start reading and then the phone rings. If you control self, you'll let the answering service pick it up. If you have an answering service, right? If you don't have an answering machine, you can still let the phone ring. And then when you've finished your half hour study time, you can go to the phone and look at the recent unanswered calls and call it back, right? So let's say you let the answer machine get the phone and it's your mother or your friend saying, I really got to talk to you. Can you please call me back? What are you going to do, right? Now, in an emergency, of course, you set things aside and take care of the emergency. But if it's just someone that wants to talk to you, you don't have to talk with them. You don't have to give up your set time to spend with God in order to spend with someone other than God. Let's say you're reading along and all of a sudden you get hungry. Are you going to set your study aside so you can go and grab something to eat? Or are you going to deny appetite? Are you going to control self and continue spending time with God? Yeah. Comment says, something always happens when you open the Bible or are about to pray. Yeah, the devil doesn't want you to spend that time with God, right? So let's say you begin studying and then you remember, oh, at 4 o'clock today, I've got to meet this person. I'm not even prepared. So now your mind is being distracted away from spending time in God's word. So you need to deny the thought. If you have to write down a note, you can do that. But deny spending time on what you're going to do and getting prepared for some other portion of the day. Bring the mind back to the subject matter at hand and spend time with God. In other words, don't allow yourself to be sidetracked or distracted, but spend the time with God. That's disciplining yourself for that half hour spending time with God. Yeah. Another comment says, hunger pains are really bad at that time when normally they aren't. Yeah, I mean, you can see that the devil is doing everything he possibly can to keep your mind from spending time in God's word. Don't allow him to win. So the Bible, well, the spirit of prophecy talks about people having to go into their closet and shut the door in order to be able to pray. Well, if you find that you're so distracted by outside noise or problems taking place around you, you may have to leave that area and go somewhere else in order to have that time to spend with God. Another comment, it says, bring them in. If they are sincere, they will remain to hear the reading. If not, you didn't ignore the person. God can send them for that particular reading. Well, that's true. That's true. So let's say someone comes to your door. Well, I mean, you don't know who it is till you go to the door, right? So you go to the door and it's your friend coming over. We'll invite them in to your study of God's word. So good point, dear sister. But a lot of times it's a stranger at your door wanting to try and sell you something. And the best efforts to try and say, I'm not interested, are just falling on deaf ears. So maybe go look who it is, right? And then if it's not someone you know, come back to God's word. So self-control is cutting off all the different areas that are trying to divert you from the most important area, and that is spending time with God. Well, let's say an emergency happens, and obviously the emergency takes precedence. It needs to be taken care of, because if the kitchen's on fire, you can't say, oh, well, I'm going to let it burn for half an hour when I'm spending time with God. You need to go take care of the fire, right? So if an emergency happens, that kind of trumps everything. You got to take care of the emergency. But you've lost that half hour. So you need to somehow find another half hour in order to make up for it. There's been times in which I haven't been able to spend time with God for a day. So then when the next day comes, I spend twice as much. So I kind of make up for what has taken my study time for that day. I make it up the next day. But God understands your heart. He understands your desire. And develop self-control. Spirit of Prophecy passage says, if you can control your appetite, then you'll be able to overcome every other temptation to sin. Quite powerful. So if we learn self-control in the area of appetite, then we'll be able to become perfect. So self-discipline, self-control is extremely, it's vitally important to salvation. Go ahead, dear sister. Okay, praise the Lord. This is the last paragraph in the section on mental faculties, and next we'll take up the section on the talent of speech, and that is about a third of the way down on page 335, so that's where we'll pick it up next time. And who would like to offer closing prayer for our service? Please go right ahead.
If we could bow our hearts and our heads and once more as we come before our Godhead. Lord Jesus, thank you once more for bringing us together. Thank you for the wonderful lessons that were wrought. Thank you, dear Father, as I know that this area of the talents is a struggle for so many, because we always in our mind, in our hearts, think that is such, it has to be such a grand thing that we have to do. But thank you for the words that show us here just how many talents, different talents they are, and how they can be used by each and every one of us, dear Father God, that if we submit our will to you, that you can use us in any capacity, dear Father, to fulfill these. Help us to be able to step out in faith continuously, dear Father, even when it is tried and tempted, dear Father, and sometimes it's so daunting and seems so despondent to us, dear Father, that you know each and every one of our hearts, and you know just what we need and when we need that extra push to go forward in your name. Help us not to rely upon our own understanding, and help us not to be like those that have the one talent and hide it, dear Father, but to be able to, with earnestness, dear Father, go and seek thee like silver and gold, that we may be able to sharpen these talents that you beset upon us, no matter how small they may be, little by little, one by one, until they can be used for you and by you through us, dear Father. Continue to be with us, dear Father, as we break for this one. May we continue to deep dive into your words, not just today as we come to partake of it together, that we may be able to find time to sit and sap with thee individually, that we may continue to be nourished, that we can each be blessed and in turn bless someone else, dear Father. Thank you so much for your words that you have left for us as an instrumentality, dear Father, to go forward and not in our own strength, but go forward in your name, dear Father, that we may be as the disciples, dear Father, unlearned men who was able in your name to cast out demons and devils, dear Father, to work miracles, dear Father. We thank you and we love you, dear Father God. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Let us take a 11-minute break and then return back here at 12:35 Pacific time or 3:35 Eastern for our main church service. So we'll see you then, dear ones.